طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah. Here Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَمَثُوبَةٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And if they had believed, meaning in their hearts, and guarded themselves, meaning by their limbs, against evil, and kept their duty to Allah, far better would have been the reward from their Lord if they but knew. Here Allah is saying, if they had believed. What is belief? Belief is attestation with acceptance and submission. This is the linguistic meaning of al-Iman. And the legal meaning of Iman is to have certain faith in the heart, speech of the tongue, and actions of the parts of the body, and it has 73 odd branches. This is the legal meaning of faith, of al-Iman. So I repeat it, it's certain faith in the heart, speech of the tongue, and action of the parts of the body, and it has 73 odd branches. And if they had believed and guarded themselves, meaning wattaqaw, what is taqwa? Is to guard oneself from the punishment of Allah by executing His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions. And this is the most comprehensive meaning said concerning taqwa. Others have defined taqwa as you act in obedience to Allah, guided by light from Allah, hoping for His reward, and abandon disobedience of Allah through a light of guidance from Allah, having fear of His punishment. And some of them even defined it in a poem as follows: leave the sins, the minor and the major, then this is guarding, and act like a one who walks on a land of thorns, taking care as to what he sees, not belittling anything minute or so little, because mountains are from small pepper. These are some of the definitions of taqwa. Then Allah said in this verse, if we can have it again there, the translation of the meaning, please. And if they had believed and guarded themselves from evil and kept their duty to Allah, far better would have been the reward from their Lord. The thing that you mentioned is petals, which you missed there, the small petals. I'm sorry, the wrong spelling. The little stones. So the reward is added to Allah. Allah said, لَمَثُوبَةٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Reward from Allah. He added the reward to himself. Why? Because of the following two reasons. Number one, because it will be far more or far greater than what the slave of Allah may comprehend, because the bestowing is from the Most Great, and anything from the Most Great is a great, and the giving of a miser is little, and the giving of the honorable is a lot. So it depends upon the one who is giving or who gives. Secondly, to make the slave comfortable that he will attain it, he will gain it, because Allah does not neglect His promise. He always fulfills His promise. He does not break it. And this reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. If they but knew. From the benefits of this verse is, number one, the vast clemency of Allah. Where Allah here is telling them to have faith, to have iman and piety, reminding them what they will attain if they do that. And if they had believed and guarded themselves, then they will attain that reward. And this is from the way of Allah the Most High, is that He presents the repentance to the sinners. Examine His saying, Allah's saying in Surah Al-Buruj, verse 10. 85, verse 10. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Verily those who put into trial the believing men and believing women by torturing them and burning them, and then do not turn in repentance. Look at this now, this is the point of evidence. And then do not turn in repentance to Allah, will have the torment of hell, and they will have the punishment of the burning fire. So they burn His slaves, they torture them, then He presents them with tawbah. And then do not turn in repentance after that. This shows His vast clemency, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the benefits is that through faith one attains the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the reward of Allah is for the one who believes and guards himself from the temptations of this life. Then that would be better for him from anything else. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لموضع صوت أحدكم في الجنة خير من الدنيا وما فيها. أو لموضع صوت في الجنة خير من الدنيا وما فيها. And a place in paradise as small as that occupied by the whip of one of you is better than the world of this life and whatsoever is in it. And the fourth benefit is that righteousness or piety is indeed the righteous deeds, is manifested in righteous deeds. This is taken also from Surah Al-Qasas 28 verse 80 concerning those who wish to have the wealth of Qarun, the treasures of Qarun. Allah reminded them, وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Those who had been given the religious knowledge said, woe to you, the reward of Allah in the hereafter is better for those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and this none shall attain except those who are patient in following the truth. And from the points of benefits is that the action of those Jews mentioned in these verses and their choice of disbelief through learning magic is an action of the ignorant. Because Allah stated at the end of this verse, لو كانوا يعلمون, If they but knew. Then we go to the next verse, please. 104. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقولوا راعنا وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا وللكافرين عذاب أليم. Oh, who you believe, say not to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't say to him راعنا. First, the address is to the believers. Then we'll explain what is Ra'ina. Ya, Allah started by saying, O you, Ya Ayyuha. This is an Ida in Arabic, which means call. And it's indicative of importance. And the call itself, it draws the attention of the one being called. Then Allah called them believers, O who you believe, calling them with the attribute of belief is evidence that whatever ruling that will come that he is requesting from them is entailed by their faith, by their belief, and that if they relinquish it, then that would indicate a state of diminished faith. That's why Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, إِذَا سَمِعْتَ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. If you hear Allah saying, O who you believe, فَرْعِهَا سَمْعَكْ, then give it your attentiveness and listen to it carefully, because it is either فَإِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِ, because it is either good being commanded, or شَرٌ يُنْهَى عَنْهُ, or an evil being called to abstain from. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O who you believe, la taqulu ra'ina. This is now the ruling coming to them. Don't say to the messenger ra'ina, meaning don't say to him, when you address him, don't say to him this word ra'ina. And ra'ina means be careful, take care, listen to us and we will listen to you. This is the meaning of ra'ina. So ra'ina is to take care of something and keep it under your tentative care. And the companions, they used to talk to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they wanted to talk to him, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, ra'ina. Listen to us, O Messenger of Allah. However, the Jews, they intended something bad by the same word. They intend another meaning which is bad. Which means an insult, stupidness, irrational. But because the same term is one, the term ra'ina is one, but with these different meanings, Allah forbade the believers to say it out of respect. And to safeguard from any kind of bad intent. Since there are those people who pretend to be believers, like the hypocrites, who would use the term ra'ina and intend what the Jews intend by it. And that's why the Muslims were forbidden to use it when they addressed the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Instead, Allah directed them to something else to say. وَقُولُ انظُرْنَا. انظرنا, it means do make us understand. So it's a request. And the term nadhar comes to mean al-intidhar, waiting. Like in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:10, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ أَوْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ. Do they then wait for anything other than that Allah should come to them in the shadows of the clouds and the angels? Then the case would be already judged and to Allah return all matters for decision. So here, do they then wait? What these people are waiting for? As in this verse 2:10. So therefore, if you want for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wait for you, so as to listen to you, then don't say this word ra'ina, but rather say unzurna. And then Allah said to them, وَاسْمَعُوا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Meaning, listen. The listening of the one who will respond. And accept. And hear. But say انظرنَا واسمعوا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal in chapter 8 verse 21, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. and be not like those who said, we have heard, but they hear not. So there, whatever in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding them in the first command to abstain from saying ra'ina, and instead say unzurna, and hear the hearing of response and acceptance. All of this is an address to the believers to avoid the way of the arrogant and insulting way of the Jews in their address to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah ended the verse by saying, وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, meaning those kafirin, meaning in reference to the Jews, they will receive painful punishment. From the benefits, number one, people should resort to the proper etiquette of word choosing when they address each other, such that they avoid the terms or words which may mean an insult. And from the benefits is, faith entails all good and noble qualities and manners, and being mindful of the proper choosing of the words is from the good manners. And from the benefits is, it is proper for the person who advises people to keep away from certain things is to direct them to the allowable substitute, is to direct them to the allowable substitute. Therefore, he shouldn't call them to abstain from something and then leave them in a state of perplexity. And from the benefits of this verse is the obligation to submit and yield to the command of Allah and His Messenger. Because Allah said, wasma'u, and hear. Meaning the hearing which entails obedience. The hearing which entails obedience and acceptance. And from the benefits is, the warning against opposing the command of Allah, and that it is from the qualities of the kafirs, because Allah said, وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and to the kafirs there will be a painful torment. This brings the end of this verse, and then we move to the next verse, verse 105. Allah said, مَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَا الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَنْ يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Neither those who disbelieve among the people of the scripture, nor the mushriks, the polytheists, like that, there should be sent down, meaning both, they don't like that any good be sent down from your Lord upon you, meaning upon the believers. But Allah chooses for His mercy whom He wills, and Allah is the owner of great bounty. There is a very important element to this verse. Here Allah says, neither those who disbelieve from the people of the scripture nor the mushriks. The Arabic min, ما يود الذين كفروا من, neither those who disbelieve from, من, from. This is an article, min, here, is an article denoting kind, is an article denoting kind, and it is not for partitioning. It is not for partitioning, and therefore the meaning will be أن أهل الكتاب كلهم كفار, that all the people of the book are kafirs. Similarly, ولا المشركين, it is added to من أهل الكتاب. So the meaning would be the same, all the mushriks as well. So neither the people of the book nor the mushriks would like that Allah bestow upon you any good. And the good here comprises both the good of this life and the hereafter. It's whether it is little or much. And if it would be in their capacity, the Jews and the Christians and the Mushriks, to prevent even the rain from falling upon you, O Muslims, they would do that. Because as Allah made it clear here, that they don't like for any good to befall you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they were able to prevent you from attaining the beneficial knowledge as well, then they would do. And this is not particular to the Jews and the Christians who were present at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but it is general. That's why it came in the grammatical context of the present tense. ما يود. يود is a verb, is a present tense verb, which denotes continuity, which denotes continuity. And they wouldn't like for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down upon you any good, whether it's gradual or occurring at one time. But Allah responded by saying, وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's not up to you. But Allah chooses for His mercy whom He wills. So He chooses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His mercy whom He wills. And His mercy comprises the mercy of the deen, of the religion, and of this life as well. And from that is the mercy of Allah exemplified in the sending of the revelation upon Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because this revelation sent down upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is from the mercy of Allah upon him and upon us. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Anbiya in chapter 21, verse 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have sent you, O Muhammad, not but as a mercy for mankind and jinn and all that exist. And the saying of Allah, but Allah chooses for him, for his mercy, whom he wills. This is linked to his wisdom. Meaning, Allah chooses for his mercy, for whoever he wills from his creation, is in accordance with his wisdom. So whenever his wisdom entails that his mercy not to befall on anyone, then it will be the case. And the opposite is true. And then Allah said, وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. At the end of the verse said, he said, and Allah is the owner of great bounty. More than we need. So this greatness refers to both quantitative and qualitative greatness. In what refers to his bounty, it is great, quantitatively and qualitatively. From the verse's benefit, number one, making clear the enmity of the non-Muslims to the Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two categories here concerning the non-Muslims enmity, and they are the people of the scripture, those the Jews and the Christians and the mushriks. These are the pagans and idol worshippers and polytheists. All of them are enemies to the Muslims because they don't wish for them any good to be sent upon them from Allah. And from the benefits is that this is not particular to the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but it continues until the day of resurrection. Why? Because the kafirs from these categories pertaining to the Jews, the Christians and the mushriks are enemies to Allah, enemies to our book, enemies to our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and thus enemies to us. And whoever is qualified with these qualities then would never like for any good to be sent down upon the believers. And this therefore entails another benefit, is to be cautious from the plots of the kafirs, whether the Jews, the Christians and the mushriks, and that we should not be deceived from any kind of sweet talk. If any of that is done, then it is because of a benefit that they seek, an interest for theirs, or that they plot for something else meanwhile. And therefore this also entails another benefit, that they should not be allowed to administer any authority amongst the an authority of leadership on the Muslims, because since they don't wish for the Muslims to gain the good of Allah, then that will not lead us to any good. And therefore this makes it clear that it is forbidden to allow them to have influential positions in and authoritative positions in planning or in any system. Rather, they should be under the authority of the Muslims as much as possible. And if we seek their help, then we make it in accordance with our interests, not theirs. And therefore we should be careful concerning their plots and planning. And we should not have a good opinion of them in any case whatsoever, meaning to take it as for granted. And from the points of benefit is, that the fact that they dislike for us to attain any good from Allah is because of their envy. And the correct definition of envy is for a person to dislike and does not wish, is rather to dislike what Allah sends down of good upon another person, whether he wishes for that good to be removed or he wishes not. So this is the correct definition of envy, which is the definition of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And therefore it is not that one hopes or wishes that the bounty of Allah upon someone be removed. No, the correct meaning is to dislike what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon someone else, whether the person who dislikes this wishes for it to be removed or not. And from the benefits is that no one can stand to stop the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He chooses to bestow on anyone. And therefore the Jews and the Christians and the Mushriks cannot stop the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believers. And accordingly the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wa'alam to Ibn Abbas, the admonition of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام to Ibn Abbas, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ, and know that if the entire ummah would gather and combine their efforts, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, to benefit you with something, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ, they wouldn't benefit you in anything except what Allah preordained for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, and if they would gather and combine their efforts to hurt you with something, لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, they wouldn't inflict any harm upon you except by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already ordained to befall you. And from the benefits is that the person who does not wish good for the Muslims has resemblance to the Jews and the Christians, and from the benefits is the affirmation of the Mashi'a to Allah, the affirmation of the Mashi'a to Allah, the will, because Allah said here مَنْ يَشَاءُ whomever He wills, and the Mashi'a of Allah is comprehensive, covers everything, whether it is from His, from Allah's actions, or from the actions of His slaves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 137, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا فَعَلُوهُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. And if Allah had willed, they would not have done so. So His will covers their actions. And concerning His, meaning Allah's actions, there are many evidences for this, like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Sajdah 32:13, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَآتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا. Now this pertains to Allah's will. And if we had willed, surely we would have given every person his guidance. But the word from you, me took effect about the evildoers that I will fill hell with jinn and mankind together. And Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, and Allah does whatever He wishes. And many, many verses. And from the points of benefits is affirmation of mercy to Allah. Affirmation of mercy. And from the benefits is the affirmation of the intent and want, what Allah intends and wants, the intent, al-irada, and the affirmation of the great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that His bounty is not like the bounty of other than Him, because the bounty of anyone other than Allah is limited, while that of Allah is vast and great, limitless. And Allah amplifies to whomever He wishes. And from His favor upon this ummah is that He qualified it with so many qualities, distinguishing it from the other nations. And from that is what came in the hadith of Jabir in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُعْطِيتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطَهُنَّ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلِي. I have been given 5 things. No one of the prophets before me were given or was given any of them. نصرت بالرعب مسيرة شهر. Allah made me victorious by His frightening my enemies for a distance of 1 month's journey, installing fear in the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ for a distance of 1 month's journey. And the second, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And the earth has been made a place for offering salah, and a thing to purify which is tayammum. فأيما رجل من أمتي أدركته الصلاة فليصل. So whoever from my ummah is in a place where he is at the time to offer the prayer, then let him pray, because the earth has been made a place to perform salah and also a thing to purify. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْمَغَانِمُ وَلَمْ تَحُلْ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. And booty has been made lawful for me, yet it was not lawful to anyone else before me. وَأَعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَ. And I was given the right of intercession, meaning on the day of resurrection. This is the fourth one. And the fifth one, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. And the messenger used to be sent to his nation only, and I have been sent to all mankind. Point of caution: whatever has been said concerning the Christians from the people of the book and their inclusion in the verse that they don't wish for Allah to send any good upon the Muslims, this does not in any way contradict the following verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 82. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Verily you will find the strongest among men in enmity to the believers are the Jews and those who are mushriks, and you will find the nearest in love to the believers those who say we are Christians. And some people stop here. Many Muslims, even when they read this verse, they stop here, they don't continue the verse. And Allah made it very well clear in the next verse, or in the continuity of the statement, that is because amongst them are priests and monks, and they are not proud. So there is no contradiction. Because this verse is addressing a particular type from the Christians, and those are the priests and monks who from their qualities is that they are not proud. And not only that, if they would hear the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will believe, and they will believe in the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's have the continuity of the verse, please. That is because amongst them are priests and monks, and they are not proud. Let's continue, please, the verse. And when they, look at this from their qualities, listen to what has been sent down to the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of the truth they have recognized. They say, look at them, our Lord, we believe, so write us down among the witnesses. You see, then this type, this quality, qualified with this, when they hear the verses, whether at the time of the Prophet ﷺ or later on, if they believe, then they are from this type. So whenever this type is present, whether at the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم or after him, then this verse is applicable or applies upon them. But the conditions of the Christians differed from some long time ago. Another important benefit which we left to the end because of its importance now is that no one can take the will of Allah as a pretext and plea for his own disobedience and come and say, my disobedience of Allah is not due to my will, rather it is due to Allah's will. Because Allah says, he will use the following text as his plea and evidence or argument. He will use, for example, 81:28-29, لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم, to whomsoever among you who wills to walk straight, and you will not unless it will be that Allah wills. So he cannot now come and say, and use this verse as a pretext and plea for his disobedience, for arguing to cover up his disobedience and blame it on the Mashi'a, on the will of Allah, or to use the statement of Allah, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكُوا, and if Allah had willed, they would not have committed shirk. And the response to people of this category is as follows. The sinner has no plea and cannot argue for his sin to blame it upon the Mashiach of Allah. So, because therefore he can have no plea using the Mashiach of Allah as a pretext, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the intellect and prepared him to know the guidance and the truth and send the messengers to him and nullified for him the usage of such pleas by sending the messengers. This is very clear in the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa 4:165, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Messengers as bearers of good news as well as of warning, in order what? Look at this. In order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after sending the messengers. So, the wrongdoer and the sinner has no plea for his disobedience because of these proofs. And indeed we find the wrongdoer and the sinner choosing so many things in this life for himself and giving preference to certain things over other things. He chooses to travel to this city instead of that, or to this country instead of that, by his own will. And he doesn't use the pre-decree of Allah as a pretext. And if it is as such, then how come he tries to blame it on the pre-decree of Allah when it comes to his sins, and does not do so when it comes to his travel and coming and going and eating and drinking. Add to this the fact that the pre-decree of Allah is a hidden secret, completely hidden. It is not unraveled except after it occurs. So how come then the disobedient person, the sinner, takes a plea in the pre-decree before his sin is committed? Why doesn't he go with the argument that Allah had ordained that he will be from the pious, and thus fears Allah and obey him by the same talking he is using for his sin? That's why Allah nullified this argument in the following verses in Surah Al-An'am 6, 148-149. سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم حتى ذاقوا بأسنا قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا. This is the point of evidence. قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا إن تتبعون إلا الظن وإن أنتم إلا تخرصون قل فلله الحجة البالغة. Those who took partners in Allah with Allah in worship, they say, if Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with him, nor would our fathers, and we would not have forbidden anything against his will. See their argument? Likewise belied those who were before them. They argued falsely with Allah's messengers till they tasted our wrath. Say, here's the point of evidence. Look what Allah is saying to them. Say, have you any knowledge proof that you can produce before us? Verily, you follow nothing but guess, and you do nothing but lie. You see the point? You have no knowledge of all of this. So how come you know of Allah will this and will that which you have no knowledge of that? Say, with Allah is the perfect proof and argument. Had he so willed, he would indeed have guided you all. So here Allah said, حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا till they tasted our wrath. And it is known that they will not taste the wrath of Allah except when they indulge in the sin. And therefore, in this way, تَبْطُلُ حُجَّتُهُمْ, their argument is nullified by blaming it on the will of Allah. Is this clear, inshallah? Is this clear? If it's clear, then we can stop here and then take a break and come to the next verse, inshallah. Clear, alhamdulillah. The nullification of their false argument. Okay. Alright, alhamdulillah.